Welcome to Shir Nebuchadnezzar, Parshas Noso. Wanted to speak tonight about a number of comments that the Ibn Ezra has with regard to the halachos of Nazir, the Nazirites, who is the subject of Perek Vav in Sefer Bamidbar, again Parshas Noso. It's very, very clear that the Ibn Ezra takes a very positive attitude towards the individual who chooses to become a Nazir and to the institution of Nazirus generally. That's not as obvious as one might think at first glance, because we know that going through the Gemaras, there do seem to be differences of opinion as to whether Nazirus is good for the Jews or bad for the Jews, as they say. In other words, even though the simple shot of the Sukkim would seem to hold up the Nazir to be a holy person, somebody who's taken upon himself things that go above and beyond the norm and as such are praiseworthy, we know that there is a statement in Chazal that the Nazir is considered to be a chotet, and is considered to be a sinner. Al shehizir atzma min hayayin, God, you know, gave you the opportunity to drink wine, and here you go and you deny yourself one of the pleasures that God has granted you. So that's a negative thing. So although we do have these different voices, so to speak, in Chazal, it is fairly clear, as we'll see, that the Ibn Ezra takes an incredibly positive view towards the institution of Nazirus, and that will bear itself out in several comments that he makes. First, let's start with some comments that the Ibn Ezra has at the very beginning of the Parsha of Nazir, and then we'll jump to some comments that he makes at the very end of the Parsha of Nazir. Again, we'll see that the way he frames the Parsha of Nazir is in a very, very positive fashion. Right before the Parsha of Nazir is the Parsha of Sotah, describing the woman who is engaged in actions that make her suspect of adultery and the whole process that she has to undergo in order to establish whether or not she's committed adultery. And then immediately after, we have the Parsha of Nazir. So what's the connection between the Parsha of Sotah and the Parsha of Nazir? So the truth is, Chazal already asked this question beginning with Masechet Sotah, and they comment, as Rashi quotes, Lama nismucho Parshas Nazir, the Parsha Sotah. Why does the Parsha of Nazir follow Parsha Sotah? Writes Rashi, again quoting Chazal, the beginning of the Gemara Sotah, Lama lecha shekol haroeh Sotah b'kilkulo yazir atzmo min hayayin. It's to tell you that anyone who sees the Sotah being disgraced in the manner in which she is will immediately swear off the drinking of wine. In other words, if you watch the events of Sotah, it will make you want to be a Nazir. So who may be with a meal? Because after all, wine is one of those things that can bring a person to commit all kinds of sins, including adultery. Ibn Ezra makes a very, very similar comment. He writes that if he dies, he nismacha ba'avur nizgiras ho'isha, shehi hetech ha'mo'elis. Again, it's a little bit of a different take, but the same basic idea. We know that a Nazir can be not only a man, but a woman. There was famously a Schechter in the Kolo in Wayu was known to ask people who wanted to gain admission into the Wayu Kolo this question, you know, can a Nazir be a woman? Can a woman be a Nazir? So famously the stories go, anecdotally, people would try to bring proofs from the Shias and the Satoises and, you know, so he would say, in the end of the day, after the person had exhausted himself trying to bring proof, the truth is, it's a pasuk. Isho, isho, siyachli lindo, neder nazir, lahazir lashem. The pasuk says, a woman can become a nazir, right? You don't need to go any further than the pasuk. Okay, so a woman can become a nazira, right? It's expressed in the pasuk. And says the Ibn Ezra, this woman who is the nazira is the polar opposite of the woman who's the sota. Right, they're coming at life from two very different perspectives. Right, most averos come about, most sins come about because of wine. So writes the Ibn Ezra. Right, so again, it's very similar to the idea which Chazal writes in the Gemara Sotah, and that Rashi quotes, that you know the parsha of Nazir in many ways is supposed to be an antidote to the parsha of Sotah. So that alone, you know, speaks about Nazir in a very, very positive fashion. However, beyond that interpretation, the Ibn Ezra also quotes the following. Yesh Omrim, he says, Shetam Yisamech Parshas Nozi LaParshas Sota. Why does Sota, why is the Parsha of Sota followed by Nozir? Shiyya lo ben Nozir ilo Nitzma'o. We know that the Torah promises that if the woman is accused of being a Sota, or she's a Sota, she's accused of having committed adultery, and it turns out that the accusation is false, so the Nikasov, the Nizra Azara, the Pulsic says that she'll be blessed to have a child, says the Ibn Ezra quoting some Yeshomans, you know, certain commentators, that child that the woman is going to have is going to be a Nazir. Right? In other words, clearly what the Ibn Ezra is saying is that it's a big source of nachas to a parent to have a kid who's a Nazir. Right? Nowadays, the stereotypical Jewish mother talks about, you know, my son's a lawyer, my son's a doctor. Right? The Ibn Ezra is implying back in the good old days, you know, women would get together at sisterhood meetings and say, oh, my son's a Nazir. Right? You should see a picture. His hair's a little long. Yeah, well, that comes with the territory. Right? So that was some, you know, clearly in that remark, that the woman who's exonerated from, you know, these accusations of adultery, that she's going to have a child who's a Nazir. Again, clearly that indicates that the Ibn Ezra sees the institution of Nazirus in incredible terms. This also comes out at the very end of the parasha of Nazirus in another comment about the Sichus HaParshios, the juxtaposition of various paragraphs in the Chumash. What do we find right after the parasha of Nazir in the Chumash? We find the parasha of Birkas Kohanim by the beginning, the very, very end of Perek Vav. So what's the connection between Nazirus and Birkas Kohanim? So says the Ibn Ezra in Pasuk Chof Gimel, the Nitzmach of Parshas Birkas Kohanim and Parshas Nazir, Kasher Hishlim Torah HaNazir Shukodosh. Now that the Torah has just gotten through telling us all about the Nazir, who is so sacred and holy, Hishkir Torah Kohanim Shehem Kedosh. It's natural to flow into a discussion of something related to Kohanim who are also holy. Right? So, again, clearly the juxtaposition of the Nazir with the coloring is meant to portray the Nazir in a very, very positive light. This interpretation of Nazir in a positive light carries through numerous other comments that the Ibn Ezra makes. So, take another example. In the very beginning of the Parsha of Nazir, the Torah says, Isha, Isha, ki yafli lindor nezer Nazir. When a man or a woman is matzli to swear, to take the vow of Nazirus. What's that verb, matzli? Unusual verb. So Rashi writes, yafrish. Right? Again, based on the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos writes, are yafarish. Right? Yafrish means he separates himself. So in other words, the way Rashi and the Targum would translate the pasuk is when a man or a woman separates themselves. In other words, they swear off certain things, and you know the way in which they swear off certain things, or they separate themselves, is through taking the oath of Nazirus. That I think is the standard translation. The Ibn Ezra quotes that interpretation, but then he adds the following. Another way to interpret the word yafli is yasa dvar pele. The Nazir is engaging in an activity which is wondrous, which is unbelievable. Right? You know that a pele is a wonder. Right? The Nazir is doing something wondrous, unbelievable. Why? Like the Ibn Ezra, the average person can't restrain himself from following his desires. So the fact that here comes the Nazir and says, I know that I'm allowed to drink wine, I know that I'm allowed to cut my hair, I know that I'm allowed to go to funerals, but I choose to restrain myself and not do any of those things, that's wondrous, that's out of the box, that's so, you know, unusual. So the Torah describes that as Yafli Lindor Nezer Nazir, when he takes the unusual step of vowing an oath of Nazirus. Again, there seems to be an implication in that statement of the Ibn Ezra that this Nazir is unique. He's a special person. The average person can't do what this Nazir does. Even the word Nazir itself, what does it mean? And what's the literal translation of Nazir? So again, just by way of contrast, Rashi in Pasuk Beis writes that when the Torah says that the Nazir is Lahazir Lashem, he takes the vow to become a Nazir to Hashem, the word Lahazir means Lahazil Asmo Minayani, right? To separate himself from wine. So in other words, the literal translation of Nazir means a separatist, right? Someone who removes himself from what otherwise, you know, the odd kinds of activities that he might be engaged in. Again, there are other Sfukim and Chumash that use the Shoresh of Nazirus in that sense of separation. Ibn Ezra also quotes that, but he then quotes the Pasuk Zion the following. V'yesh Omrim, some say, Kinilas Nazir, Yigivras Nezer. Some say that the word Nazir is related to the word Nezer, which means a crown. Earlier in Chumash and Taisus Amor, when we read about the Kohen Gadol, so the Torah describes that the Kohen Gadol has the crown of his God upon his head. Right? So the Nazir is someone who wears a crown, says the Ibn Ezra, quoting these Mepharshim. And says the Ibn Ezra, and that's not a far-out interpretation, that seems to be a very, very solid interpretation. And then the Ibn Ezra adds the following. This you could make, I don't want to say you could make it to a bumper sticker, but it's a very, very poignant turn of phrase that if we copy this phrase and we put it up, you know, in a place where we could see it prominently on a regular basis, maybe it would change the way that we act, you know, or certainly the way that we function from time to time. Right? The Ibn Ezra. Da, he called an Adam Avde Kavos Ha'olam. You should know that all people are really slaves to their physical desires. They are melech ha'amiti. So who's the true king? Sheesh lo nezer v'ateres malchus v'rosho. The true king who has a crown upon his head, a regal crown upon his head, is kol mishu chofshi min ha'taisus. It's only the person who's free, who can free himself from the desires that otherwise make him a slave. So in other words, the Nazir is called Nazir because he's the true king, says the Ibn Ezra. Unlike other people who are slaves to their desires, the Nazir can conquer his desires, and in doing such, shows that he's really the king, he's the one who's really in charge, and the very word Nazir means the one who wears the crown, i.e., the one who can control his taivos, his desires, and not let his taivos control him. Right, so the Ibn Ezra doesn't come out and say this in so many words, but certainly you get the impression from the Ibn Ezra that if a person were to choose to voluntarily forego things that were mukta because he felt that it contributed to his, spiritual stature, so the Ibn Ezra would be in favor of that. That's the impression you certainly get. Right? We know the Bali Musa, you know, many, many centuries later after the Ibn Ezra was stressed that, you know, a person should force himself to give up things that are, you know, minuscule, you know, that don't seem to be major, you know, concessions that are obvious to people, but, you know, a person's eating, so he shouldn't eat all of the dessert, right? Why should he eat all the dessert? Because this way he shows that he's not controlled by his fibers. It's a tremendous fiber, right? You have a plate of cake in front of you. Hard to eat half of the cake, right? I can speak for most personal experience. Hard to eat half of the cake, right? But a person's a Bala Musa says, you know what? Okay, I want to have some enjoyment from this world. I'll have, you know, two bites of cake and then, you know, leave the rest over, right? So, you know, that kind of attitude, the Ibn Ezra doesn't say straight out that, you know, you should go ahead and do this, but certainly it seems like it would be in line with his general perspective. That then brings us to an interesting comment in the Ibn Ezra, which we'll have to try to unpack and explain a little bit. Again, we've seen so many of these indications that the Ibn Ezra has a positive attitude towards Nazirus, you know, towards a certain asceticism, you know, which is associated with the Nazir. What do you then do with the following, as we'll see in a moment? In other words, you know, I understand people have a taiva to drink wine. It's the rare person who has a taiva to go to funerals, right? You know, I wakes up in the morning, gee, you know, I wonder if there are any funerals today. You know, that would really be, you know, really exciting. But I think the simple shot is that you're right. The taiva, you know, the desire that the nazir foregoes is really wine. Hard to say that there's a taiva to go to funerals. However, once the person has foregone wine, you know, he elevates the status, he takes on a certain degree of kedusha. Part of the way that kedusha expresses itself is to stay away from death. It's not that he has a taiva to go to funerals, hard to imagine that there would be such a taiva, but just like he's transformed himself into a kohen, as we saw the Ibn Ezra, you know, drew the analogy between the zeros and kohanim a little bit later on. So, you know, he's made himself into a quasi-kohen, if you were, brought a certain type of kedusha upon himself. Kedusha in Yiddishkeit, you know, involves separation from death. Not that death is a taiva, not the funerals are a taiva, but that's a byproduct of this whole elevated state of kedusha that he brought upon himself. Now, growing a hair long, that is a function of separating himself from time. That's the Gemara in the Dara makes clear that, you know, ordinarily a person would want to look, you know, again, this is before the 1960s, right? But ordinarily, a person would want to look clean-cut, you know, would want to look, you know, he wouldn't want his hair to be wild and the like. You know, the nazir, by letting his hair grow wild, is basically giving up on the taiva of wanting to improve his physical appearance. Right? What's that? Yeah. Right. So, I think the case of the nazir is a lack of concern for physicality. I mean, that's you know, I think the simple way to understand the fact that he lets his hair grow long. I don't care. You know, I don't care about grooming. You know, he's separating himself from that particular type of taiva. Then we have the following pasuk. Again, I'll have to try to make sense of the Ibn Ezra's take on this pasuk, because the Ibn Ezra himself is a little obscure as to what he means. Right? Says the pasuk in Ches, "V'chi amos meis alav v'pesach hitzam." Let's say the nazir is minding his own business, you know, being a nazir, and all of a sudden he finds himself in the presence of a dead body. Right? So it undoes, it defiles his nazirus. The Timei Rosh Nizro. Right, so his head of Nazirus is defiled, right? You know, Ibn Ezra might say, the crown upon his head is defiled because it now comes into contact with the dead body. So, okay, so he has to shave his head. And then, Uvayom Hashmini, on the eighth day after he came into contact with his dead body, Yavi Shtei Sarim, he should bring two birds to the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash, the Asa HaKohen Echad L'Chatos VeEchad LeOlah, and the Kohen offers up these two birds. One is the Korban Chatos, a sin offering. One is the Korban Olah as a burnt offering. Right, the Chiper Olah of Hashem Chatal HaNafesh, and the Kohen will atone for the Nazir on account of the fact that the Nazir sinned in coming into contact, he sinned al hanafesh. He sinned concerning the soul. Right? So what is the role of this chatos and olah, these two karbanos, the sin offering and the burnt offering, and what's meant by ma'asher chata al hanafesh, that he should atone for the Nazir because of the Nazir's sin concerning the soul. Let's start with the second question, right? What does it mean, Asher Chatral HaNafesh? Writes the Ibn Ezra, Hu Al Nefesh Hameis. Right? What it means is that it atones for the Nazir because of the fact that he came into contact with the soul of this dead person. In other words, the Nefesh, the soul which is referred to, is the dead body. Right? What else will it refer to? The Ilu Hoya Shechata Al Nafsho. Now, says the Ibn Ezra, don't interpret this to mean that the Kohen should atone for the Nazir because of the fact that the Nazir sinned himself, i.e., that somehow it was sinful for the Nazir to have become a Nazir, which, by the way, Rashi quotes, is indeed one of the positions of the Gemara in Tanya's. Rashi quotes right here on the Pasuk. Revelozer HaKafar Omer, Revelozer HaKafar says, what does it mean, Asher Chata Al HaNafesh? In what sense does the Nazir, did he sin concerning the soul? Should Seer Atzvo Min Ayayin. Right, the Nazir is held accountable because of the fact that he refrains from drinking wine. In other words, there's a little bit of a criticism of the Nazir that's going on over here. Says the Ibn Ezra, no. In fact, that can't be what it means. Now, Asher Chata Al HaNafesh means the fact that he came into contact with the dead body. How do I know? He lo haya shechata al nafsho, lo haya asher mitzvado, so she asked her lechatoso. If God really thought there was a problem with the Nazir being a Nazir, so then the Torah would not say that after the Nazir, you know, finishes this period of atoning for the fact that he came into contact with the dead body, what does the Torah say? Let him go back and start his Naziris over again. I don't understand, says the Ibn Ezra. If it's such a sin to be a Nazir, the Torah is not sending him back into the clutches of sin. It's sending him back to be a Nazir over again and to sin even more. No, obviously, being a Nazir is a wonderful thing. The sin was that he came into contact with the dead body, and he needs atonement for that, for having fallen from that lofty pedestal of being a Nazir. Okay, right. So from this particular line, it's actually in the Ibn Ezra, you could just explain that it's obviously not sinful for him to be a Nazir. Right? But again, if you put it together with the other Ibn Ezras that we saw before that speak in such positive terms about being a Nazir, again, it's all one piece. You know, it's a great thing to be a Nazir. Kadosh Baruch Hu could never hold you accountable or say that you're sinful in any way for having been a Nazir. But then we encounter the following Ibn Ezra. So earlier in that same pasuk in Yeralev, the pasuk had said that there are two birds that the Nazir who was defiled, right, who came into contact with the dead body, has to bring two karbanos, echad the chatos and echad the olah, one a sin offering and one a burnt offering. Says the Ibn Ezra the following words: to have sold who, the secret behind these words is Sha'amu Chazal, that which our rabbi said, Ushar Aveira Aveira, that the reward for one sin is another sin. That initially in Pirkei Avos, one sin begats another. So what does Ibn Ezra mean by this comment? Right? I mean, he introduces it by saying, this is the soul, this is the secret. Yeah, it's very secretive. We don't understand what he's talking about. Right? One sin brings about another sin. What's he trying to explain? How does he explain it? So the comments of the Ibn Ezra that are printed in Taras Chaim Chumash write as follows. That says this comment, why does he bring, the Ibn Ezra is trying to answer the question, why does the Nazir, who came into contact with the dead body, bring a carbon chatos, a sin offering, right? Because he sins once, and one sin brings another sin. What was his first sin? His first sin was that he became a Nazir to begin with. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this misfortune upon him, that he comes into contact with a dead body. And now, one sin, becoming a Nazir, begets another sin, that he now has to bring a carbon to atone for the fact that he broke his Nazirus and came into contact with a dead body. I think that explanation is very implausible in the Ezra, based on all of the evidence that we've built up to this point. It seems very strange to imagine that the Ibn Ezra would have any complaint with the Nazir becoming a Nazir, Because again, Ibn Ezra over and over again has stressed in only positive terms the greatness of being a Nazir. Right? So it doesn't seem that the first sin would be being a Nazir in the first place would then bring about this other sin of having to bring a carbon chatos to atone for his defilement. I quote the following, and I saw in the new Olus Lahada Chumashim, they quote this interpretation from the Olel Yosef as follows. What the Ibn Ezra is trying to answer with this statement is, why are there two karbonos? What a chatos and what an Olel? Right? In other words, we know that, okay, the chatos makes sense. Right? In other words, it makes sense for him to bring a guilt offering, a sin offering, because he messed up. You know, in other words, maybe it wasn't his fault, but here he was, he took the oath of being a Nazir, and he came into contact with a dead body, and he broke the oath. Okay, so you have to bring a carbon chatos for that. But why did you have to bring a carbon Olel? Right? Why did you have to bring a carbon Olel? So the Olel Yosef suggests as follows. We know earlier in Sefer Vayikra, the Ibn Ezra tells us that the main idea behind the carbon Olel is to be mechapis, the tone, for sinful thoughts. Right? It's a carbon that comes about for sinful thoughts. Perhaps the Ibn Ezra is wrestling with the following question. Here's this guy, he's so well-meaning. Right? He really wants to do the right thing. He's really so dedicated. He's out there to be a Nazir, and boom! You know, he happens to be in the room when somebody, just drops dead. What does poor Nazir do? You know, here the guy's trying to do the right thing, and here he messes up his Nazirus due to no fault of his own. How could that mishap have come about? So suggest to Ibn Ezra, the karbanos that the Nazir brings is a little bit of a hint as to why, you know, this mishap befell the Nazir. Probably the Nazir was having thoughts of regret about having become a Nazir. He was having thoughts that, you know, this wasn't all it was cracked up to be. I really like having, you know, a little bit of wine, you know, at least Shabbosim, right? You know, I'm not enjoying this, but I like to cut my hair, right? You know, he starts having second thoughts. Oh, you start having second thoughts? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, puts you in a situation where the Nazirus is going to be broken, right? And then you're going to have to atone for the fact that the Nazirus fell apart. That's why you have both the Chatos and the Olah. The Chatos atones for the actual sin of having broken the Nazirus. The Olah atones for the sinful thoughts that led up to that, which were the catalyst for HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing the breaking of the Nazirus in your direction. Oh, you don't want to be a Nazir? Okay, so you won't be a Nazir. You'll see how it is. You'll lose your Nazirus for a week, and then you'll have to start all over again. That's perhaps what the Ibn Ezra means, Har Avera Avera. Right? The reward for sin is more sin. You were thinking sinful thoughts, you were regretting being a Nazir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to, okay, so I'll mess up your Nazirus and you have to start all over again. Right? Think bad thoughts and there'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Conversely, if you think good thoughts, so hopefully that will be a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. Right? But perhaps that's the idea which the Ibn Ezra is bringing out with this idea of Har Avera Avera. No. But, well, your kasha is not really a kasha on the Ibn Ezra. Your kasha is a kasha on the Chumash, right, on some level. In other words, if it's not the guy's fault that he came into contact with a dead body, so why is the Torah penalizing him at all? Right? I mean, why shouldn't it be different than a bris milah that comes out on Shabbos or a pikuach nefesh that comes out on Shabbos? Right? So I think the Ibn Ezra is addressing that on some level. What's the Torah got against this poor guy? Right? He tried his best, you know. It wasn't his fault that the guy died sitting next to him, you know. So, what time does he have to him? That's the Ibn Ezra, according to this interpretation, is suggesting maybe, you know, these things happen to a guy who in the back of his head is having regrets about being a Nazir. Oh, you're having regrets about being a Nazir? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mess you over. Right? But it doesn't say that he goes and takes care of the dead guy, right? And it's just, you know, Hasala runs, and, you know, they take care of everything, right? I mean, he's just lost out of his Nazirus. He's not doing any mitzvahs or anything like that. Right. Right. So, but again, that's not that's not the scenario which is described by the Chumash. The scenario that's described by the Chumash, Nebuch the guy, you know, he's just sitting around, and, you know, the person next to him expires, right? So why should that happen to him? You know, you were probably thinking bad thoughts. You were regretting this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, oh, you regret being a Nazi? I'll show you, right? And that's the Ola and the Chatos, which the Nazi has to bring. Okay. In other words, that also you would have to also bring the same karbanos. Here it's even simpler, right? Here it's even easier to understand. The Chiddush of the Torah is even Bethesda did so, right? Even where it happens, you know, inadvertently, you know, he wasn't aware of it. You know, he still has to bring these karbanos into kafara. Okay.